And so my little girl keeps asking me, what are we going to get for Akong for Father's Day? And then she's like, actually, it's Father's Day, not Grandfather's Day, so you have to buy the present, not me. Tell you what. Oh, good morning, everyone. How are we? Yeah, so excited to be here. So excited to share what God has been laying on my heart on the theme, Follow Me. You know, and I don't know if you've noticed the new sign that we have outside the front of the church that says, what does it say? Influence your world. Oh, I'm on. But not loud enough. I have a very loud voice, you know. No, not that loud. Okay. Can hear? Okay. So influence your world. How does that sound? Sometimes I feel as a church, the world is actually influencing the church sometimes, isn't it? It's actually how do we go and influence the world? And as I was praying, as I was meditating upon what to share today, these are the things that God was sharing with me. And He first wanted me to start with this story. So we just had the kids come up, and kids grow up really fast, right? So a couple of years ago, I was driving my little girl to school. And before coronavirus, your parents had to walk the kids into the classroom. You had to sit there, you had to do the puzzle, the math, everything to settle them into school. And so this one particular day, I took my little girl to school, and we're in the classroom, and I saw this girl from the corner of my eye come in into the class, and she had a big bunch of pink envelopes. Pink envelopes. What do pink envelopes mean? Yes. So she had a big bunch, and then she kept coming up to all the different girls in the class, and she'd come up to one of them and tap them on the shoulder. They'd whisper a little bit. They would, hello. Still not? Oh, hi. Okay. And so they would whisper and they would peel back this little pink envelope and they would giggle with glee. And this little girl went to every single girl in the class, but guess who didn't get an invite? My one didn't get an invite. And you would see her face just look longingly at these pink invites, all the little girls hurrying, all giggling away, and her face just fell. She took about a second, deep breath, and then, like any young kid at 7 years old at the time, she just bounded outside and went to play with the boys in the basketball court. That moment, I went back into my car. I don't know what overwhelmed me. When I tell my daughter the story now, she's like, Mom, you're such a drama queen. But in the car, I wept. I literally cried. I don't know why, but I was just weeping. And I felt this one sentence come into my spirit, but I didn't know what it meant then. And the sentence was, you belong to the most exclusive club. What? And then today, or as I was preparing to the word and come today, that was the story that God laid on my heart. Because, you know, the Father's heart is actually for all of humanity, correct? Every single one of us, God loves. If I, a mother, could cry over a daughter who didn't get an invite, can you imagine how God would cry over the world and the love that He has for the entire world? So our theme is Follow Me. And really, the theme of today's message is called Ruling and Reigning. The Father's heart is for all of humanity. We are set apart to influence and bring His rule and reign into all the earth. And it starts in the very beginning. Does anyone know the beginning story, Genesis story? What are the first few words of the Bible? In the beginning. So in the beginning, there was nothing. And God brought order out of disorder. He brought order out of chaos. And God made everything. He spoke things into being, right? He formed the earth. He formed night and day. And the pinnacle of God's creation is what? Is us. What does it say here? It says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. We are made in the image of Christ. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." We are made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God, and we are to rule and reign as his image bearers in all of the earth. How cool is that? That out of over everything that he created, he put man and women as representatives of him in this earth to rule over them, ruling and reigning. And then in the Genesis story, what do we know? We know that he created the Garden of Eden. And inside the Garden of Eden was everything good that God placed inside there, right? The very definition of goodness, and he put man and woman inside that garden. And in that garden, we know there are two trees. There are the tree of life, and there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God, in his infinite wisdom, gives us the opportunity to choose to reign and rule with him from the tree of life, or to eat of the knowledge. But he tells us not to. But then do we know what happens? We know there's a serpent, right? And the serpent whispers into Eve's ear. Can imagine that. Beautiful garden. I'm not a very good gardener, unlike my mother. Everything I can grow is weeds, and weeds very well. But you can just imagine this beautiful garden, and you have everything that God has defined as good inside that garden. And he's asked man to rule and reign with him. And the serpent comes and he tempts. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing what is good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit on the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We had this. We're not even past the first couple of pages of the entire creation story, and human beings chose to rule and reign on our own terms. God had everything defined as good, ruling and reigning with him. He gave it all to us, but we chose to do it our own way. And then we know that very shortly after, God's promise to redeem all mankind. And he says to the serpent, "I will put an enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." What does that mean? God's telling the serpent at that time that Jesus is coming. God's telling the serpent at that time that there will be a day that will come. Son of Man will come and he will crush you. And in the death, you'll be defeated. God's pointing everything to ruling and reigning with Jesus. You know, God's plan for all of humanity points towards who Jesus is. And the Bible story, as it unpacks and it unfolds, what does it tell us? It tells us that God had set aside a family, a man by the name of Abram, and that through this man that the whole world would know the blessing of God, right? So that's the Abrahamic covenant. And he says, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed by you. Who was blessed by that song, The Blessing, during lockdown, yeah? How cool was it to see it in all the different countries, the South African, the Singapore, the Indian, every single country was the song, The Blessing. How beautiful and how important it was to influence the world at that time. And I tell you what, you look at Abraham's story, God's promise is that he's going to bless, but Abraham also has trust issues, right? Do I trust in God's timing? Do I trust in God's promises? Or will I try and control things my own way? How many of us have been in that situation before? Holding on to God's promise, but then you kind of want to do it your own way, in your own time. And time again through Abraham's story, we see that the family chooses to do things their own way. They're trying. They're set apart by God to be a blessing for all the nations. But just as I said before, sometimes it feels like the world is actually influencing them. As you read through the Old Testament, what do you see? You see there are times, there are kings, there are seasons when they influence those around, that there is goodness, there is rule and reign of God. But then there are times when the other nations, the other kingdoms are influencing them very much, correct? In the Old Testament, there's a saying, and when they were thinking about who God is to them and the character of God, and I just want to share this with you. It says this in Exodus 34, The Lord is compassionate, and he is a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That is the character of God, and that is demonstrated every single time, every single story in the Bible. From the very beginning to the very end, God is a compassionate God. God has a father's heart for all people. God is a gracious God. God is slow to anger. He's full of loyal love and faithfulness. A day in the kingdom of God is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like a day, right? We are merely a breath. God is an amazing God. And so as you start to unpack the Old Testament, you see what it's like to rule and reign with God. And there's God's way. God sets apart and he gives the Jewish people, what does he give them? He gives them the law, the Ten Commandments. The first three are to connect to God. And then the next seven, ten takeaways, three is what? Yeah, seven, is about connecting to one another. And God gives downloads straight from him to his people on how to live. You know, if anyone who's tried to read through the book of Leviticus, sometimes you get lost inside the what is clean, what is unclean, how to wash, how to stay, how to do this, how to do that. But God in his infinite wisdom is downloading onto the people. You see, modern science tells us that actually the blood clots a couple of days after birth, the best. That is actually modern science tells us that now. They wouldn't have known this thousands of years ago. But God in his infinite wisdom gives them the clarity of this is the day that you are circumstanced, the little boys. Why? Because God knows. Human nature didn't know, science didn't know, but God knows. And he sets apart these people and he gives them the downloads, the rules, so that we could rule and reign with him, so that we could be set apart by all the nations, that they would know, that they would see a people that were healthy, that were whole, that were ruling and reigning with God. But yet, man's heart is a heart of what? It's a heart of stone. It's impossible to follow all the laws. And it points to what? It points to Jesus. Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming. You see, God's plan for all of humanity, the invitation, the pink invitation that was given out to all the girls, that plan is who? It's Jesus. It's through the blood of Jesus that all of humanity connects to God. And who are we? We're followers of Christ. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Tell you, you look at Jesus and you look at how he lived his life. His ministry was only a very short period of time that was captured in the gospel. But from the moment he's talking about the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The goodness of God is here. And what does he teach? You know, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah to come. They had studied it. They had the downloads from God. They were waiting, but they could not see that it was Jesus. And Jesus rocked everything upside down. Everyone was expecting a king to come in, what, on a stallion? What did Jesus come in on? A donkey. He was an upside down kingdom of heaven. It was kings were up here telling people how to influence up here. But actually, how did Jesus do it? You look at Exodus 34, God is compassionate, he's gracious, full of loyal love and faithfulness. Jesus was the embodiment of all of the character of God in everything that he did. Jesus was moved with compassion for those who were lame, those who were crippled, those who were blind. And you look at it. Actually, when you unpack some of the gospel stories, Jesus is talking about the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And when you look at it and you think of actually the poor, what is the poor? Is it actually to do with wealth or is it poor in spirit? Poor in spirit. Are we not all crying out to connect to God? Is that not a human thing that each and every single one is born with a hole in the heart that only God can fill? Are we not poor in spirit? The blind, the lame, the cripple. How can we be blind to the things that are right in front of us? I don't know about you, but my mum loses her glasses all the time and she asks me where they are. Guess where they are? She can't see them. Sometimes we, as followers of Christ, can be blind. Blind to the opportunities that are all around us. Wanting to influence the world when actually what God's wanting to do is change us. Transform us. And that as he transforms us, then we can change the world. Because how do we rule and reign with God? How do we take his goodness into all the earth? How do we influence? We know that Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, came through his death, his blood, that we would live. We saw God's character revealed in Jesus, the way that he ruled. He was the fulfillment, the promise. From the very beginning in Genesis, I shared with you when God was talking to the serpent saying that at the knee, you'll bite. And there'll be death. And through that death, my rule and reign will come into all the earth. Through the blood of Jesus, that the invitation goes out to all of humanity. Because it's not a set group of people, it's actually for all people. And we who are sitting here today, we are followers of Christ. We see that. We've held on to that. We've captured that and said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Because that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, right? Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. So what does that mean? To rule and reign with him, reflecting his glory and bringing his goodness everywhere we go. Okay, I'm going to do something dramatic here. I'm going to ask the boys at the back to turn off the lights. Can you please do that? I just want to show you something. We tried this out before. See how we go. Dark, right? Can't see. What happens now? A little bit of light? What happens now? More light? Can you see my wrinkles? Not yet. A few more candles needed. What's happening now? See me better? Look at this. What does it say? To be the salt and light of the earth. But what happens when the light is only here? You can see here, but can you see there very well? What happens, and I will be very careful because this is fire, and I did burn down the balcony when I was how old, Mum? What happens when I start to spread the light? Is it easier to see all through? Don't worry, I chose the candles with the glass around it. Less fire hazard. So what happens? There's light that's visible throughout. It's not just in one place, it's all throughout. You can turn on the lights again, thank you. What does that mean? What does it mean? To influence the world, that's us. Who's the candles? That's us. And it's not just here on Sundays that the candle is lit. It's everywhere we go throughout the week. As we go on, the light of Jesus comes with us. God's rule and reign goes with us everywhere we go. So who's in school at the moment? Hands up all those that are still in school. So everywhere you go, the light of Jesus goes with you in school. With your friends, the conversations, with your teachers. Who's in the working world? Who works? Everywhere you go, your clients, your colleagues, your bosses, the light of Jesus, the rule and reign, God's way goes with you. How cool! Who are the grandparents taking care of grandchildren? Rule and reign of Jesus goes everywhere with you. The relationship, the passing down to your grandchildren. God's calling us to influence the world. How are we going to do that? How are we going to rule and reign with God, reflecting His glory and bringing His goodness into all the earth? Thought you'd never ask, and I'm going to just share with you a little bit of scripture and then tell you a little bit of an application that's happened to me. Okay. Gosh, you guys are really quiet this morning. What's going on? You need some coffee. Okay. So I'm going to read to you Romans 12. And it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12. So you read that, it says what? Three things. First, connection to God. A living sacrifice. To be a living sacrifice, you have to be what? Connected to God, holy and pleasing to God. So I ask you, to be a follower of a Christ, what do you need to be? Connected to? So how do we connect to God? Hands up. How do we know we're connected to God? Hello. Prayer. Woof. God's dialogue. Prayer is what? When we pour out to God, when we seek God, when we share with God, what is our heart? Also, what prayer is it? Just a one-way conversation? It's a two-way conversation, isn't it? Prayer is a two-way conversation, but I think very often prayer becomes a one-way conversation. My little girl, when she prays, "Dear God, help me be Olympic runner, singer, business slime person, YouTuber." It's a one-way prayer street. But prayer is actually a two-way street. What is God saying to us? To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I ask you a question, brothers and sisters. What's our prayer life like? Is it something that we do because, oh, we have to? It's the box that we need to tick because we got to pray. Why? Because that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a good Christian. Better put my timer on. Let's squeeze it into the day. Is that how we are connecting to God? And you wonder why God's not talking to us? Is he only there for the 15 minutes in the day? You know, we pray to God all day, all through the day. He knows our thoughts. He searches our heart. How connected are we to God? Are we sitting in with his word? Are we listening? I tell you, my friend had this saying, and he wanted to put it on a t-shirt: "The Holy Spirit speaks through my wife." Holy Spirit speaks, right? So often that I would be pouring out my concerns to God, and I tell you, it comes straight back at me in terms of the word. Every morning I wake up and I pray and I seek the Lord and I just pour out the things that are troubling me, my cries. And I think I've shared with you guys before, I have this amazing app which is the Bible in a year. And every time I go to, after I talk to God, I open it and I don't know what, it's like it's written for me. The things that were troubling me, the things that I'd poured him out to, there is actual biblical Bible verses that God literally speaks to me in those moments. How connected are we to God? Because he's a good God and he loves you. His heart is for every single one of us. Are we listening to him? You know, as you read this, it says, "This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world." What does that mean? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. It's a higher standard, correct? That as follower of Christ, we have a higher standard that we seek to please who? Our Father, our Creator, the person that has designed us, who has made us, that we would be transformed. You know, I think when it comes to connecting to God, we might tick the box for prayer, right? Reread the Bible too. I do that really good. Tick. But do we allow God to do the deep work in our lives? So often we pray and we want God to show up here, here, and here. But actually, what God wants to change is who? Us. And then, so how do we set, do not conform to the pattern of this world, what the world defines is right, what the world defines is good, but actually to whose definition of what good is? God's definition of what good is, right? You look at the Garden of Eden. What's God's definition of good? The tree of life. Every good and living thing. God's definition of what good is. Versus whose? Our own definition. That's what Eve did. She ate because she wanted to define what was good. Herself. Not to take God's definition. And so when I read this, I look and I think, what does it mean to not conform to the pattern of this world, what the world tells us is right? And what does it look like to look higher, to look towards Jesus, to look towards my God and say, what would God do? Remember those bracelets that they used to have? What would Jesus do? What would it look like to rule and reign with him? And then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will, his good, his perfect will. So connected to God, transformed. And this transformation is a bit painful at times, isn't it? You don't go from, you think about transformation, and the thing that jumps to my mind is The Biggest Loser. You know the weight gain one? And you don't go from that size to this size without what? Sweat, bit of pain, a lot of exercise, and possibly eating a lot of green food and not much else. There's something in the transformation process that you have to allow that change to happen within us. And it's the trust that God, holding on to God's faithfulness, that he will always be with us through that process. And then the last one is connected to others. If we want to influence the world, we want to rule and reign with him, it cannot just be for ourselves, correct? It cannot just be the candles that are sitting in this space lighting up this area, correct? For we are made to be in community. God made Adam, and then what did he say? It is not good. For man needs a helper. And then he made the updated version, the woman. But that's a whole different story. We're made to be together in community. So as we are connected to God, as he is transforming us, then how does that not show his goodness and grace everywhere we go? The character of God, what does it look like? Compassionate, gracious, full of loyal love and faithfulness. How can that not come out in every expression of who we are, in every decision? You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we're driving on the road and it's, I'll do the Christian thing, let the person in. It's more than that. It's connection to others. How do we rule and reign with others? You know, there was a prayer that I've prayed for a long time. I have been with my husband for 21 years this year. Woo! Long time, right? For 21 years I've been praying to change him. God, please change him. Please change him, please change him. When I told him this, he said, why would I need changing? Funny this. God didn't answer my prayer to change him. Why? Auntie May, you got it right. Because God was going to change me. You see, as I was thinking, what does it look like to rule and reign? I started asking that question. God, change, why are you not listening to me? My frustration every morning. God, why are you not listening to me? I'm praying that you change him, you change him. And we keep coming up with the same thing over and over and over and over again. And one day we had a little argument, and do you know what he said to me? He said this, and you're supposed to be Christian. Ouch! Hit it where it hurts. You're supposed to be Christian. What does that mean? Do not conform to what the world standard is. Conform to what? A higher standard. But was I doing that? Oof. I tell you what. Then I began to ask the question, what would it look like to rule and reign with him? What would it look like to rule and reign with Jesus in this area of my life? I tell you what, when you pray that prayer, God listens. And God started to what? Change me. And as God started to change me and open up my eyes to see, I tell you, it brought such healing, such restoration, such wholeness. See, God desires goodness for everyone. He wants us to live great, wonderful, beautiful lives. That is his intention. That is the Creator's intention. How often we try and define things our way for what is good, what is right, when actually all the Father wants is for us to connect to Him, to be transformed. I ask you today, brothers and sisters, family, what's the part of your life that you're sitting there, maybe wrestling with, praying that prayer, God, change them, change my mother-in-law? Change my co-worker, change my boss. Change them. And go to the Lord and say, God, what would it look like to rule and reign with you in this area of my life? What would it look like to offer my life as a living sacrifice? What would it look like to be transformed by you here? To renew my mind, to seek you first, the kingdom of God. Not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to conform to who? God's will and way. What would that look like? I promise you, the world would be different. Now, I said this a couple of years ago, but there are 7.6 billion people in this world. 7.6 billion. I don't know with the latest figures of coronavirus, whether that's changed, but at the time it was 7.6. And they said that 2.8 billion people call themselves followers of Christ. 2.8 billion. 2.8 billion people, and I know my math is not good, is a lot. And I tell you, those people are everywhere. They're every country. They're in every sphere of society. They're in government. They're in business. They're in schools. They're in homes. They're in families. They're in communities. They're in friendship groups. We are everywhere. What would it look like if we ruled and reigned with Him? In every area of our life, to offer it to God as a living sacrifice. God, use me as the vessel to pour your goodness, your rule and reign into all the earth. How would we change the world? You want to influence the world? Sometimes it seems like such a big, far-off thing. But it's a lot closer than you think. And it starts first with who? Changing you. Because God's got to change you first before you can change the world. I think there's always a shortcut, right? Everything is so instantaneous today. We want everything and we can get it delivered to our door within 45 minutes. But actually, God wants to change us so that we would bring His rule and reign. That's why He's made us, made in His image, co-creators with Him, that He would invite us to take the message of Jesus everywhere we go, in actually how we rule and reign. In the New Testament, it says that the smell, the aroma of those on their way to finding Jesus will be found where? Through us. Through the way that we live. Through the conversations that we have. Because we're looking to a higher world. Higher view. God's view. I started the story today with my daughter and the party invitation that she didn't get. The invitation is who? Let's be clear. The invitation, the pink envelope with the birthday invite is who? You said it. Who's the pink envelope? It's Jesus. Hello, I was just waiting for someone to say it. Jesus is the invite. But who are we in that story? We are who? We are the ones that go and give that invite out to everyone. Correct? We are the little girl that goes and gives the invite out to everyone. And do we give it to everyone but one girl in the class? No. We give it out to everyone by how we live our lives. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for your people. I want to thank you for the word. I want to thank you for your goodness, that you have called us to rule and reign with you everywhere we go. I thank you that you have created each and every single one of us, and you have a call and a destiny on each of our lives. I pray, Lord God, for the call that you have on this church as we come together to do our AGM, our 30-year AGM. Lord, you've been preparing us for what you are calling us into, which is influencing the world. And I pray, Lord, that we come openly to you. Do the work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.